Chapter 35. Tommy Carter took a long, hard look in the mirror. There were bags under his eyes. It had been a rough time for him, but appearances were important. He'd spent the majority of the last 2 days in an interrogation room, sticking to his story. They had released him late last night. He'd been surprised they hadn't been kept for the maximum 72 hours. Maybe the Gardaí were getting tired of receiving the same answers again and again. He'd rung Moran and Franco when he'd got home, and they'd both said they'd had a nice trip. Code for nothing having happened under interrogation. They'd had little time to talk about what had gone wrong on the job, but that didn't mean he hadn't been thinking about it. He'd also been wondering how to play this new development. If he used it right, he could end up with allies, albeit unwilling ones, amongst the very people who were trying to catch him. But first he had to get through the next few days. He and the other two could expect 24-hour surveillance and a distinct change in approach. No carol singers were going to get them out from under this time. Still, it was just a matter of patience and will. They had waited them out before. They could do it again. He glanced up the stairs to see Emer looking sheepishly down at him.
"You all right, sis?" "I need to go to college, Tommy, but there's guards outside."
He smiled his warmest smile.
"Don't mind them. They're only interested in me. I'm heading out and then the coast will be clear, okay?"
She nodded and stepped back into her room. Tommy gave himself one last scan in the mirror, turned, and opened the front door. There was a barrage of flashbulbs from about half a dozen cameras surrounding him. From behind the cameras came a clamour of voices.
"Tommy, were you involved in the death of Garda O'Shea? Are you a gangster, Tommy? What do you think your father would say about your behaviour, Tommy?"
Tommy pushed through the throng. 4 Garda cars were parked on the street, 2 on either side of the road. He was met at the top of his drive by Detective Pamela Cassidy, flanked by 2 uniformed Gardaí.
"Ah, Tommy, good morning, sir."
Tommy pointed behind him.
"These people are trespassing on my property."
"Well," she said, looking all coy, "that's really a civil matter. Unless you think they mean you harm."
Tommy said nothing.
"I mean, you could ring the station, but we're really busy at the minute. There's a big manhunt on for a cop killer. Maybe you've heard."
One of the journalists interjected.
"Where's John O'Donnell, Tommy?"
"That's a good question," said Cassidy, smiling sweetly. "Where is your friend, John O'Donnell?"
Tommy didn't like how she said the word friend. He raised his voice.
"As I've repeatedly told the Garda over the last 2 days of ceaseless harassment, I have no idea where John O'Donnell is. The last I heard, he was going rock climbing."
"I see. Do you think the bullet wound might make that tricky for him, Tommy?"
Tommy pushed forward down the path. He was going to keep his normal routine. He didn't care how many police or vultures from the gutter press followed him. 2 more guards began walking in front of him, as the rest of his unwanted entourage followed behind. Across the road, he saw Bunny McGarry and D.I. Fintan O'Rourke leaning against the bonnet of one of the cars. He gave them a nod, and both nodded back.
"Anyway,"
continued Detective Cassidy, maintaining her cheerful tone, as though she was his PA informing him of the day's appointments,
"I'm afraid a spot inspection has found that the rear wheels on your car are below specification, so that's a fine. And if you attempt to drive it in its current state, you will face a further fine of up to £2,000 and 6 months in jail. Oh, the revenue have also asked me to inform you that all of your businesses, the cab companies, the laundrette, the pub, the printers, are being audited. So books for the last 5 years will be required."
Tommy kept walking, maintaining a steady pace. This unusual parade was attracting more looks than normal, which was to be expected. When he tried to exchange smiles with some of the neighbours, though, to show everyone that all was well, that this was nothing he couldn't handle, he was greeted by averted eyes or scowls.
"By the way, Tommy, we don't want you to feel picked on, so everyone on the street is getting audited too. It's a new scheme the revenue has. Also, a couple of your neighbours have been done for not having an up-to-date TV licence or car tax. Mr. Jameson has been arrested for benefit fraud. Mrs. Jameson has been arrested for assaulting the officer who was arresting Mr. Jameson for benefit fraud."
They had reached the corner of the street now.
"Oh, and by the way, if you're heading to the Leaping Trout pub for breakfast, it was closed down this morning for a rather long list of health code violations."
Tommy stopped, started walking, then stopped again. The cameras clack, clack, clacked around him.
"Do you not have anywhere else to go for breakfast, Tommy? Where's John O'Donnell having breakfast, Tommy? What does a cop killer have for breakfast, Tommy?"
Tommy reversed course, pushing his way back through the throng, past smirking journalists and Gardaí.
"Lost your appetite, Tommy?"
asked Cassidy. As he pushed through the crowd, he could see Emer at the far end of the road, hurrying for the bus stop with a couple of Gardaí and a handful of journalists in pursuit. Tommy glared in the direction of O'Rourke, who shrugged.
"You can't break the rules and set the rules, Tommy," he called out. "That's not how the game works."
Tommy turned around and extended his arms to the sides.
"You're all supposed to be journalists. Why not report some real news? Look at this. Harassment by the state. Where are my human rights?"
"Didn't Dara O'Shea have rights, Tommy? What about his kids?"
called out one of the reporters. Tommy started pointing at all the Gardaí in turn.
"And look at this. How can the Gardaí justify all this expense, I wonder? Just to carry out a vendetta against an innocent man."
He looked over at D.I. O'Rourke, but it was McGarry who answered.
"Civis Romanum sum, Tommy. You just didn't realise until now who the Romans really are."